Okay, today's daf is Zvachim Daf Tzadi Hey. We left off on Daf Tzadi Dalet Amud Beis. We're at the Mishnah at the bottom of Tzadi Dalet Amud Beis. So the Mishnayos were talking about the din of kibus begadim, which is when dam chatas splatters onto the begadim, that there's a mitzvah of kibus begadim dafka in the azara, and then we segued from the din of kibus begadim into the requirement of mariko shtifa when you have kelim of the Beit HaMikdash that have tam of karbanos in them. So there's a requirement of mariko shtifa to rid the kelim of the tam. So says the Mishnah, beged sheyatzo chutz l'klaim. Let's say the beged was brought outside of the azara, nichnas mechapso b'makom kadosh. So bring it back in order to do the kibus in the makom kadosh. Nitma chutz l'klaim. However, let's say it wasn't just that went out chutz l'klaim, but it became tamei when it was chutz l'klaim. So now you're in a predicament because there's an iser to bring tuma into the azara. So what are you going to do now? On the one hand, you have a mitzvah of kibus that can only be done in the azara. On the other hand, you have an iser of bringing something that's tameh into the azara. So the Mishnah's etza is as follows: Koro, tear it up in a way where it's now not going to be a kli anymore, and therefore its tuma is going to go away. Meaning, in general, there are two ways to rid something of tuma. Typically, you can rid something of tuma by being mitaher it, but tara b'mikvah, or whatever other forms of tara there are, or you can destroy it as it's currently constituted, and therefore it's not the same item anymore, and the tuma goes away. For instance, by kli cheres, there is no option of being mitaherit. So since there's no option of being mitaherit, so you have to be shover. The only option is to break it. So over here, you can't, for whatever reason, we'll see in a second, you can't be mitaherit. So the best thing to do is tear it up, and that, by definition, will make the tumah go away, and then nichnas mechapso makom kadosh. Then bring it in and wash it off in the makom kadosh. So a couple of things right over here. First off, the very first halacha in the Mishnah seems to not teach us any chidushim at all. Of course, you have a beged that you have a requirement of kibus begadim in the azara. So if it went outside of the azara, and the first case was no tumah, just went outside of the azara, so you have to bring it back in order to do the mitzvah of kibus. That's the din of kibus begadim. What's the chiddush? So don't suggest maybe the chiddush is just that there's no chiddush in that line. It's just setting up the next line where there's a din of nitma, and that's what the whole chiddush is. That if it becomes tameh, but that first line has no chiddush at all. Problem with that is that in the Tosefta it has the first line without the second line. So in the Tosefta in the 10th parak over in Zvachim, it has that first line without the second line. So there must be some chiddush in the first line. So in the Sefer Makar Baruch, he quotes that the chiddush is that even though the dam is nifsal when it goes out chutz l'klaim, and we know the halacha of kibus begadim does not apply to pasul dam. We just had sugyas about that when once the dam is nifsal, there's no longer a din of kibus begadim. So one might have thought that once the dam goes out, there wouldn't be a din of kibus begadim. So that's what it's coming to tell me, that no, since the dam was not pasul at the time that it hit the beged, at the time that it splattered on the beged, even though the beged then went out, that's not called that there's pasul dam. That would still be subject to the normal din of kibus begadim. That's the chiddush. Not only that, the Makar Baruch says, maybe the Tana is trying to be mechadesh, that even if after it splattered on the beged, it went out prior to it getting absorbed in the beged, and we keep referring to a machlokas, or to a discussion rather, that we're going to have in a few dapim from now on Daf Tzadi Ches, where the Rava raises the suffolk, is the mitzvah of kibus when dam touches a beged, or when dam is nivla in a beged, when dam is absorbed in a beged? And the maskara of Rava is that it's only when dam is nivla in a beged. So the Makar Baruch suggests that maybe the case over here is even if the dam originally touched the beged while inside, then went outside and became nivla in the beged. So one might have thought that in such a case, it's not called that the dam touched the beged prior to becoming pasul. That the dam that there was a mitzvah of kibus prior to becoming pasul. One might have assumed that the mitzvah of kibus begins when it's nivla, and over there it was nivla outside, so it was already pasul by the time you had a mitzvah of kibus. So kamash malam, this mishnah, that it's not so. That even though you only require kibus on dam that is nivla, still the mitzvah of kibbutz is on dam that will eventually be nivla begins from the moment the dam touches the beged, which is a phenomenal chiddush. Pashas of the maskana daf tzadi ches is that when it's nivla, that's when there's a chiyuv of kibbutz. No, what we're saying now is what this Mukar Baruch is suggesting is that the chiyuv of kibbutz is on dam that will that touches a beged in a way that it will become nivla, but it's the chiv of kibbutz is right then and there from the moment it touches the beged. That's miyashiv some of the questions we asked a couple of days ago. But anyway, that's the chiddush of the Mekar Baruch. What's the case where it's not going to be mitzvah of kibbutz? So that's the example we had where the beged is totally saturated and the dam touches it. So the dam can't possibly become nivla in the beged. So that is that's one discussion in the Achronim over here. The other discussion the Achronim have over here is in the case where it becomes tameh outside. That the Mishnah says you should tear it up and bring it back inside. So the Achronim will ask, why tear it up? As we just said, there are two ways to be mitare beged. You could be mitare it conventionally by bringing it to a mikveh, or you can break it up. Why would you tear it though? Just be mitare it in the conventional way. Bring it to a mikveh. Why is that not good enough? Why can't you bring it to a mikveh, then bring it back into the Azara and wash it and do the mitzvah of kibbutz? So there are three terutzim in the Achronim. The Teferis Yisrael explains that the dam that's on the beged is going to be chatzitza in the tevila, and the tevila is not going to work, even though the dam that's moist is not chotzeitz. In general, things that are wet, that have a din of a liquid, are not going to be a chatzitza. The concern is that the dam is dried in the beged, and therefore it's going to be a chatzitza. So therefore, the tevila is not going to be ola when there's dam, unless you first wash out the dam. Tevila only works when there's no chatzitza. The reason many of the Achronim don't like that teretz, the Rizfasemis points out, is that the din of chatzitza on a d'oraisa level, something is only a chatzitza when it covers the majority of the item and you're makpid on it. If it's either covering the majority of the item and you're not makpid, or you're makpid but it only covers a minority of the item, that would only be a chatzitza midrabanan. So dam in a beged, we're assuming that it didn't splatter over the majority of the beged, it splattered on a part of the beged. So dam in a beged is l'chora a miut hamakpid, and that's not a chatzitza on the daraisa level. So why does the Mishnah, and we're only concerned about daraisas here, we'll see, it's going to be clear in the Gemara, we're not concerned about the rabbanans here, we're only concerned about daraisas here. So that's why the Sfasemis doesn't like that teretz, that it's a chatzitza, it's not really a chatzitza on a daraisa level. So the other suggestion, Sfasemis suggests a second possibility, why we don't bring it to the mikveh. He says, because when you bring it to the mikveh, some of the dam might wash off in the mikveh also, and it will turn out that you didn't do the mitzvah of kibbutz on that dam that came off in the mikveh. You have a mitzvah of kibbutz on all of the dam that's in that beged. If some of it gets washed off beforehand, so then it will be a failure to have done the mitzvah of kibbutz on that dam. And the third teretz the Achronim suggest is the dam zvachim. The dam zvachim explains, based on Ramban, that the chiv of kibbutz b'makom kadosh is because the Torah is machmir on dam that's nivla in a beged to treat it as if it was before the sprinkling, that you're not allowed to bring it chutz l'klayim, that it should be treated with an iser of hotzah chutz l'klayim. So just like you have such a din, so too, he says, it could be in regards to time, that you have to be mechabes it as soon as possible before it becomes possible. Excuse me, before it becomes possible, mishum nosar. Now, by tefila, it's only going to become tahar. It's only going to become tar if you also have Harav Shemesh. By the tefila alone is not going to be metahir it. Now, by the time you have Harav Shemesh, though, you're likely to be in the area of Nosar. You're likely to be in the territory of Nosar. So the Dam Zvachim says, being tovel it will cause an unnecessary delay, and you're not allowed to cause an unnecessary delay. You need to get it to the mikvah as soon as possible. Those are the three basic terutzim to that issue in regards to why don't we just bring it to the mikveh. Now, the third issue that they discuss on this line of the Mishnah, that the Achronim discuss, is the case the Mishnah doesn't bring. The Mishnah talks about nitma chutz l'klayim, if it became tameh outside of the Azara. What if it became tameh inside of the Azara? Then what do? Do you bring it out, rip it up, and bring it back in? Do you just rip it up there, or do you not bother with ripping it up and just be koves and then do your mitzvah? So what's the halacha when you don't bring it when it becomes tummy in the Azar? Mishnah doesn't mention the case. So Sfasana says same din would be when it becomes tummy in the Azar, bring it out, rip it up there, bring it back in, and do the kibbutz. Why does the Tana mention a case where it becomes tummy outside of the Azar? Much more common for things to become tummy outside of the Azar than for things to become tummy inside of the Azar. So it just picks the more common case. That's how the Sfasemis writes. The Ola Shlomo, however, says that if it became Tameh Bifnim, if it became Tameh in the Azara, you don't need to bring it outside of the Azara. Why? Why would you not need to bring it outside? He said, what's the whole reason you need to be Korea the Beged and not bring it Lefnim? Normally, what do you have over here? Bringing a Tameh Beged Lefnim is a Los Asay. Doing the mitzvah of Kibbutz is a mitzvah Asay. So typically, the rule is, Asay Docha Los Asay. So we should say, bring the Beged inside and do the Kibbutz. So in a Chinam, you're going to be violating a lav, but Asay Docha Los Asay. So therefore, you shouldn't worry about it. Why is it that we say to rip it up outside and not to just bring it in? So it must be, he says, because the Asay Docha Los Asay is only when the Los Asay, by the time the Los Asay is done, the Mitzvah Asay is being Mekuyam at that moment. But if you're not, it's be'idna, but if you're not being mekayim the mitzvah saseh at the moment that you're violating the lo saseh, it's not be'idna, then you can't do, then you can't assume aseh docha lo saseh. What's going to happen? You bring it in first, and then once you bring it in, you then do the kibbutz. But you're bringing it in first. That's only in the case where it's outside and became tameh. But where it's inside and it's already tameh, so you might as well just do the kibbutz right there, because the earlier you do the kibbutz, that's the mitzvah saseh. It will take just as long to do the kibbutz as it will to bring it outside. So the mitzvah saseh is to do the kibbutz right then. So that would be called that it's be'idna, and therefore you would be the din would be different if it actually became tameh while it was inside. Okay, that's all the first case of the Mishnah. Those are the three major issues in the Achronim. Again, what the chiddush is in the first line. Number two, why we don't tovel it when it's outside, and number three, what the din would be if it was nitma bifnim. Next case in the Mishnah, kli cheres sheyotzel chutz l'klayim. If you have a kli cheres that went outside of the klayim, nichnas v'shovro b'makom kadosh. So bring it back in and do the shvira in the makom kadosh, because the mitzvah is dafka the makom kadosh. Nitma chutz l'klayim. If it became tamei chutz l'klayim, where now again you have that predicament. Yeah, on the one hand you can't bring it in because it's also to bring something tamei into the azar. On the other hand, you have to bring it in because you need to do the shvira. So nokvo v'nichnas v'shovro makom kadosh. So first, puncture a hole in it. By puncturing a hole in it, you're going to be metayer it, and that's enough to be metayer it. The Gemara will discuss how large the hole has to be. But by puncturing a hole, that's enough to be metayer it. Then you bring it inside, and you mekayim the mitzvah of shvira. Similarly, klei nechoshes. A klei nechoshes that sheyatzal chutz l'klayim. Nichnasu marko v'shodfo b'makom kadosh. Bring it in into the mariku shtifa b'makom kadosh. Nitma chutz l'klayim, but if it became tamei outside, pochso v'nichnasu marko v'shodfo b'makom kadosh. So destroy it, damage it, and then and by damaging it, you're going to be metahir it, and then you could bring it in and do the mariku shtifa and the makom kadosh. Now the mefarshim ask, the Ola Shlomo and some of the others ask, in the case of the kli cheres, that kli cheres, we say that if it becomes tamei chutz l'klayim, you need to be nokvo, you need to put a hole in it before you bring it inside. So he said, why do you have to be menakev a kli cheres that's tamei in order to bring it in? There is a gemara in Maseches Erevin on Daf Kuf Dalid where the gemara darshins mizachar v'yad nekeva tishalechu, that the pasuk says someone who's tamei has to be sent outside of the Azara. So, and the Gemara Darshan, Zachar ad Nekeva, Prat l'kli cheres, she'enu ta'un shiluach, b'shum she'enu tara b'mikva, or b'shum she'enu nasa avatuma. That a kli cheres does not require shiluach. If a kli cheres becomes tamei, does not have to be sent out, either because only things that have tar b'mikva, like Zachar and Nekeva, either things that have tar b'mikva, only things that have tar b'mikva have a mitzvah shiluach, or only things that become an av hatuma have a mitzvah of shiluach. So kli cheres, the Gemara darshins explicitly, there is no din that a tamei kli cheres can't be in the Azara. So what's the Mishnah discussing in case of a kli cheres it becomes tamei outside, so you need to be no cave in order to bring? No, there's no din. The Gemara Nerevin says, by klei nechoshes enochinami, by people, by begadim enochinami, tamei has to be sent out. But by kli cheres, the Gemara has an unusual din, but it's a drasha from a pasuk that it does not have to be sent out. So what's this whole discussion of kli cheres? So that's what the Achronim suggest, that even though Minat Torah, there's no Isser to be Machnas of Klicharis that's tummy into the Mikdash, Midrabbanan, there must be an Isser, and in order to avoid violating that Isser Drabbanan, that's why we suggest to go and be no Kevid, in order to avoid violating the Yisur Drabbanan. I told you before that in our Gemara we're not going to be concerned for Yisurim Drabbanan. So we'll see that line of the Gemara that indicates that. But we're going to have to hedge on that a little bit. We're going to have to say that if it's easy to be concerned for the Yisur for issues Drabbanan, then we are. It's only when it's too difficult to be concerned for issues Midrabbanan, we'll see that line in the Gemara. So let's see the Gemara now. Maskev Ravina Koro Beged Om Rachmanov Velav Beged Hu. How can you tear? Going back to the first case where it becomes tamei outside of the azara, and you still have to do the mitzvah of kibbutz. So we suggest to tear it, and that way it's going to become tahar, and then bring it inside. But the mitzvah of kibbutz is on a beged, and if you shred the beged, it's no longer a beged. So how can you be yotzei the mitzvah of kibbutz? So says Gemara, the Mishayer Bei Kedema Afores. You tear it in such a way where it's still connected by a certain shear of a Kedema Afores. And in that way, it's torn enough that it's Tahar, but it's not torn enough that it loses the Shem Beged. So it's Tahar, but it still has the Shem Beged. Sfasemis is bothered by the Kasha of the Gemara, that Beged Amar Rachmana, that it says Beged in the Pasuk. Sfasemis says, you know where it says Beged in the Pasuk? The Pasuk, when it talks about Beged, talks about when the Dam splashes onto a Beged. It doesn't sound like the mitzvah of kibbutz is only on a Beged. It sounds like the mitzvah of kibbutz is only if it was on a Beged at the Shas Hazaz Hadam, at the Shas, at the time that the Dam splattered on it. Hatazas Hadam, the time the Dam splattered on it. Not at the time that you're doing the kibbutz that it's supposed to be a Beged. So the Sfasemis is a little perplexed how the Gemara knows, or where the Gemara knows from, that at the time of the kibbutz itself, it needs to be done on a beged. He doesn't really have a strong answer to that kasha. He sort of leaves it as a kasha. But anyway, the Gemara clearly assumes that at the time of the kibbutz itself, it needs to be done on a beged, on something that has the din of a beged. When it's torn in this way, it loses the tumah, but it retains the shame beged in regards to the mitzvah of kibbutz. Now the Mefarshim, the Achronim, the Panamiros, Chaknasan, ask that the Gemara previously, we had yesterday, had a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lazar, the Mishnah, and we pointed out in the Gemara what they were arguing about, whether the din kibbutz of Dam Chatas is on a beged that's actually Mekabel Tumah at this stage, or a beged that's ra'ui to be Mekabel Tumah. And Abayi said, what's the nafkamina between them? When you have a matlis p'chusum mishalosh, when you have a piece of cloth that's less than 3x3 etzba'os, where typically it can't be used for anything, and therefore it's not mekabel tumah, but if you're machshivit, if you decide that you're going to use it for something, so then it can take on the status of Kabbalah's Tumah. That was the Nafkamina, that's called Roy Lekabel Tumah. Now everyone agrees that a little piece of cloth less than 3x3 etzba'os is not a beged, and yet we say that that's the nafkamina, right? So what's the Gemara asking? The lav beged hu. According to Rabbi Yehuda, even a matlis pachus mishlosh al shlosha, and we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, would still require kibbutz, even though pashut, it's not a beged. So how can you say, that was the nafkamina between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Yehuda holds, matlis pachus mishlosh al shlosha is still going to require kibbutz, even though it's not a beged. So where does the Gemara get off assuming that you only require kibbutz on a beged? It's beferish against the Gemara we did yesterday. So the Panamiros is a very sharp vart. He says, in yesterday's Gemara we asked the my nafkamina between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lazar. So Abaye suggested this nafkamina with a beged that's less than 3x3 etzba'os. And then Rava came along and said, no, I have another nafkamina. Let's say you have a beged, it's full size, but you're planning on being mitzayer. You're planning on making a embroidery on the beged. So in your machshava, it's not yet a full beged because you're planning on making embroidery on it. That's the nafkamina between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Yehuda says that since if you didn't plan on making embroidery on embroidering it, right now it would already be mekabel tumah. So that's good enough. It would still require kibbutz. So why was Rava unsatisfied with Abaye's nafkamina? Why does Rava have to give his own nafkamina? So Lukutei Halachos Chafetz Chaim says that's the same. They're just giving different nafkaminas, but they all agree with each other. Says the Panamiros, no, Rava rejects Abaye's nafkamina. Rava will say, Abaye, in your case, you're talking about something that halachically is not considered a beged. It's pachos mishalosh al shalosh. And if it's halachically not considered a beged, then mele, there's no din of kibbutz, according to anybody on it. So that's why Rava has to come up with a case where you have a legitimate beged, but it still might not be mekabel tumah because you have further plans to embroider it. And that's why Rava rejects Abaye. So our Gemara is assuming, like the sheet of Rava, that it actually needs to be a beged in order to be able to have the din of kibbutz. So, frankly, Gemara, Eini, is that really so that we're dealing with a case where you tore it but you left the kedei ma'aforas connected? But don't we assume that if you're mishay kedei ma'aforas, it still remains tamei. It's connected enough to still be tamei. So the Gemara says midrabanan hu. Yes, but that's only a din drabanan. That's only a din drabanan when it comes to tamei. It loses its tumah status. This is the line in the Gemara that I kept on referring to. Here the Gemara says explicitly, something that's tameh midrabanan, we're going to bring into the Azara for the sake of the mitzvah of kibbutz. We're only concerned about tumah d'oraisa when it comes to bringing into the Azara for the mitzvah of kibbutz, but tameh midrabanan we're going to bring in. So again, what you see from this Gemara is, what's ola from this Gemara is, that a beggar that's ripped and is connected still by a kedei ma'aforas is tahar midrabanan, yet it's still called a beged in regards to the mitzvah of kibbutz. In this gigantic Tosfos over here, Dibra Maskel Shanu, that starts on side Dalet and Beis, he asks a simple question. Why in regards to Tumah does it lose the shame beged, yet in regards to the mitzvah of kibbutz, it doesn't lose the shame beged? It's still called a beged for kibbutz, but it doesn't lose the shame beged in regards to tumah. Why should those two things be different from each other? So Tosfos basically says that the tumah is nifka, the tumah goes away by tearing it, but since you're miyached this beged, since if you were to be miyached this beged rather, that has a kedei ma'aforas of connection still for some other shimush, for some other use, it would be tameh mikanu laba, so that's good enough to be called a beged in regards to the mitzvah of kibbutz. And what the Acharonim explain is that the din of tumah is a din in l'sha'avar, it's a din of the past. I'm trying to get rid of a past tumah. So to get rid of a past tumah, you need to change it from what it was. By tearing it this much, I've changed it from what it was, and therefore that tumah goes away. The din of kibbutz begadim is tali and din shame beged. That means, is it right now still considered a beged? So, yeah, it's considered a beged, it's just not considered the same beged. It's not the beged that it was. It's a new beged, but it's still called a beged. The mitzvah of kibbutz has to be done on a beged. So that would suffice for the mitzvah of kibbutz mikanu laba. However, it seems that the Rambam has a vastly different understanding of the whole sugya. The Rambam, Perashim Shnayis, writes that im nitma achar shayatza, if it becomes tameh outside, because you can't bring a beged tameh into the mikdash, korea makom shalof adam umachnisa lemikdash umechabso, tear out the spot that the dam is on, bring that in and wash that off. Vizem midrabanan, but that's only a requirement midrabanan. Aval midaoraisa eno chayev lechabes achar kriya. But midaoraisa, you don't really need to wash it off once you tear it. So what you see from the Rambam is, the Rambam holds on, eno chinami. If you tear it, it loses its shame beged in regards to tumah, and it loses its shame beged in regards to the mitzvah of kibbutz. You don't have a mitzvah daraisa of kibbutz. Why then are you bringing it in and being mechabes? Says the Rambam, that's only a mitzvah drabanan to be mechabes. When the Gemara says midrabananu, it's not saying that it only loses is still tameh midrabanan, and it lost the shame tumah midaraisa, but it still has shame tumah midrabanan. No! It lost the shame tumah legamri. Why are you bringing it back in to be mechabes? Is only drabanan because it even lost the shame beged in regards to the mitzvah of kibbutz. That's how the Rambam's understanding, at least in the Pirush Mishnayos, it's very clear that the Rambam Mishnah Torah changed his mind and he reads the Gemara like Rashi and Tosos within Mishnah Torah. Okay, next case, klicheres sheyatzu chutz l'klam. So we said that a klicheres that went out, again, bring it in and be mishabrit there. If it became tamei outside, you need to be menakev, you need to make a hole in it in order to be metahir. So klicheres kliyam rachmanav velo kliyu, but if you made a hole in it, it's no longer a kli. So says Gemara, Shanika b'shorish katan. You made a very tiny hole, the size of a small root, and therefore it's not going to be And therefore, it still is called a kli in regards to the mitzvah of shvira. It's just not called. It just doesn't retain its old tuma. Tosafot over here discusses where this shir comes from. Shorish katan. He says the only time we have shorish katan in Shas is in Maseches Shabbos when the Gemara discusses about the Sadiheim Beis. The Gemara discusses what's called mechubur lekarka. If you have a plant in a pot, so a plant that's in a pot is not called mechubur lekarka. But if there are holes at the bottom of the pot and the pot is on the ground, so that's called mechubur lekarka, right? And therefore, it can't become tame because it's still mechubur. So that's where the Gemara says, if it's in a pot that has a hole the size of a shorish katan, think about it, it makes sense, because we're talking about what could be called mechubur lekarka. A shorish katan can reach out into the karka and will actually be mechubur lekarka. So that's cool that it's not hukshul lekabel tumah. So Tosafot says, what's that got to do with this? With the din of a kli? We're talking about the din of the zera, the din of the plant inside of the kli. So Tosafot says that there must be something wrong going on over here. This doesn't make sense. If you look at Rashi was definitely not goreis this line. Rashi in on the next line of the Gemara says, hey, how come we never discuss kli cheres? And he says, it must be that we were talking about you made a nekev in the kli cheres the size that liquid can seep out of it. So he gives his own shear. And he assumes that the Gemara never discussed it. So Rashi obviously doesn't have this line of Gemara. Next line of the Gemara, let's see next. Klei nechoshes pochso. If you have klei nechoshes, so we said you should ruin the kli. Again, if it becomes tame outside, you're poches it so that it will take away, you ruin the kli a little bit so that it will take away the tumah status. And then you bring it in to do mariko shtifa. So frankly, Marva love kli hu. But if you poches it, you took away its status as a kli. So Gemara, the rotsif martsif, know that you... You hammered it back into shape. So since you hammered it back into shape, it therefore goes back to having a shame kli. Tosafot says, if you hammered it back into shape, the Gemara should have said the same thing by the beget, that you went back and sewed it back together again. And therefore it's a kli again. So he says it has to be that wouldn't work. That putting it back together makes it a new kli, and therefore the same din of kibus wouldn't apply, or the same din of mariku shtifa wouldn't apply. So Tosafot says it must be ratzav maratzav means that you turn it inside out. You make tocho gabo and gabo tocho, and through that it becomes tahar from its tuma, but it's not a new kli. Okay, Amrei Shlakish, mi'il shenitma, if a mi'il becomes tamei, machniso bepachos mishalosh al shalosh, umechabso. Bring in less than 3x3 etzbos of it at a time, meaning don't bring the whole piece of clothing in, because again, this is something that you can't be korea, that's the assumption. Rashi says, mi'il shel bigdei kuna shenitas lov dam chatas v'yatzel chutz l'klaim v'nitma machnis makom hadam lefnim. It's a mi'il of the bigdei kuna became tamei, you're not allowed to tear up the bigdei kuna. So what do? Bring in a little tiny drop of the beged at a time, less than the amount of the beged that would be considered a full beged, and therefore then rip it, then clean it off little by little. Mishum shenemar lo yikareya, because it's an isra in the Torah that you can't tear it up. So that's your only option when it comes to a me'il that became tame. Most of Ravad Barava ha'avin varachim ein ba mishum shalosh al shalosh. But he says, wait a second. Why 3x3 etzbos? That holding of 3x3 etzbos doesn't apply to thick begadim. And the me'il is a very thick beged. So how can you say a din of shalosh al shalosh? What's the svar of shalosh al shalosh? That it's usable when it's 3x3 etzbos. It's not usable when it's smaller. But a very thick beged is not even usable. It's not soft enough. It's not pliable enough to be usable even when it's 3x3 etzbos. So the whole din doesn't apply by a me'il. So it says, no, agava vien chashivi. When it's a beged that in total is 3x3 etzbos, and it's an oven, it's a thick beged, it's not considered chashuv. But when it's part of a larger beged and you're just bringing in a little piece of it that's 3x3, that's what we're talking about. That's considered to be if it's pachs me that if it were 3x3, it would be chashuv enough to be a problem of tuma. So over here, this part of a larger beged. Now, what's the idea of bringing in pachs mishalosh? Tosfos points out that whatever happened to the concept of bia b'miktzah shma bia. that the Isser of bringing something Tamei into the Azara is even if you only have Bia B'miksos, even if you only bring part of it. So Tosfos writes in this little Tosfos, even though Bia B'miksos Shema Bia, the Gemara said earlier, Shiny Beged Hol V'yachol Chod Chalachosh of Kilu Nichnas Kulo. That when do we say that Bia B'miksos Shema Bia, something that you can't cut off the piece that was brought in. If I stick my fingers into an ear, you can't just cut off my fingers. That would be very uncomfortable for me. But if you take a Beged and you stick it partially in, so you can cut off the piece of the baguette, so that would not be a violation of Bia B'miksos Shema Bia. In that situation, we wouldn't call it Bia B'miksos. So Frek the Gemara, wait a second, but how are you going to clean the dam off? The way Rashi, I'm going to read this Gemara the way Rashi understands it, that we're asking in general, the mitzvah of kibbutz and the azara. How do you do the mitzvah of kibbutz? So the Gemara assumes, v'abai shivas sammanim. In order to do the mitzvah of kibbutz, you need to use the 7 detergents that the Gemara in Nida recommends in the context of a kesem. The Gemara in Nida recommends the following situation. You find blood, a woman finds blood on her garment. She's not sure if it came from her body and therefore would be tamei mishum kesem, or if it's some other discolor, some other coloring or whatever, it was paint. So there's a way to check. The Mishnah says you take zayin sammanim, 7 detergents, and rub it on and see if the blood still remains. If it still remains, then it's vaday dam, then it's real dam. Otherwise, forget it. Otherwise, you don't have to worry about it. So that the definition of laundering is through the shiva sammanim. So says the Gemara, v'bayi shiva sammanim dam rav nachman amar rav arvu adam chatas umaros negayim tzrichin shiva sammanim, because we said that to clean off the dam chatas, and by maros negayim also, where we discussed that there's a dindaraisa of laundering, you need to launder with shiva sammanim. V'tanya elisha in machnisim meiraglayim l'mikdash. Problem is, one of the shiva sammanim is meiraglayim, and you're not allowed to bring Meiraglayim in the Mikdash, so how are you supposed to do the Shiva Sammanim? So the question is asked by the Rishonim, Meiraglayim is a detergent? How does that work as a detergent? It would seem to be the anti-detergent, right? It would seem to be when something needs to be washed if it has Meiraglayim. So Rashi Tak understands that it means literally urine, and in some way it loosens up the dirt or something, that it actually serves as some sort of detergent. Shitim Gubetzis quotes in Nematosos, though, that Meiraglayim, he first goes to tell us that it's Meiraglayim Mamish, and then he says, no, maybe that it's an Esev Shekach Shemo, that it's some type of root, it's some type of herb that's called Meiraglayim. Why can't you bring it into the Mikdash then? What's the big deal? Because it's called Meiraglayim. And you don't bring something that's even called Meiraglayim into the Mikdash. It's disrespectful to the Mikdash to bring something that even has a shame Meiraglayim in it, which attaches a lot of significance to a name, meaning who called it Meiraglayim? Is it called in the Torah Meiraglayim? It's not called that in the Torah. Why would, if it's called that in French and not in English, and it's a big chiddush to say that because it's called Meiraglayim, that you're not allowed to bring it into the Mikdash, unless it's a concern that you're going to come to confuse it for something. I don't know, but it doesn't sound like a Din Rabbanan. Or the Be'er Sheva quotes in the name of the Kolbo that there was a certain Mayan, there was a certain spring of water that was called Meiraglayim for whatever reason. It's like they would want to bottle that, May Eden, Meiraglayim. I don't know if it, so anyway, there was a certain spring water that was called, that's how he understands. But anyway, whatever it is, you're not allowed to bring it into the Mikdash. So how did they do the cleaning of the Dam Chatas from the Begadim if you're not allowed to bring the Meiraglayim in? You need the Shiva Sammanim. So the Gemara is going to have 3 suggestions. The first 2 it's going to reject. The Chitem at the Mivlulu Bahadi Shiva Sammanim, Umavlu Lukulu Kachad. Maybe they mixed the Meiraglayim with the other 6 to detergents, and they brought it all in at one time, and the Meiraglayim was there for batel. But we have a Mishnah that says that if you use all 7 detergents simultaneously, you accomplish nothing. So, okay, we need another suggestion. Maybe you'll suggest the following. That you mix it with one of the other sammanim, not with all 6 of the others. But the Mishnah says that if you want the laundry to be effective, you need to rub it 3 times with each of the detergents. And you can't do that if you mixed it with another, if you mix the Meiraglayim with another one of the detergents. So Ella, the Gemara says, final answer, Dimivlhu Barok Tafel. It must be that you mixed it together with saliva, with raw saliva, and the halacha is that that's the way all of these detergents were used. All of them were mixed together with saliva, and therefore the meraglaim could also have been mixed together with enough saliva to be mevatel the meraglaim. The concept that you can be mevatel meraglaim does apply in halacha in regards to, in Shulchan Aruch it appears, in regards to making brachos in front of meraglaim, how much water it needs to be mixed with, how balua could be in the karka before you make brachos. So you're also, you're being mevatel the meraglaim. It's interesting. So that's the maskana of the Gemara. Right? The maskana of the Gemara is you do bring meraglayim in, but you first mevatel it with rok tafel. And that way you could bring the meraglayim in. Which makes it very strange that the Rambam, Maisar Kabanos Perches, Halacha Yud, writes that all the Shiva Samanam, you're mavir all the Shiva Samanam on the Dam Chatos, you do the laundry, right? You do the mitzvah of kibus with all the Shiva Samanam, chutz mi meraglayim. Rambam says, except you don't use meraglayim, because you can't bring meraglayim into the Mikdash. Kilu, the Rambam had the Gemara's Kasha, and his answer was, enachinami, that you don't have to bring the meraglayim in. The only problem is, that wasn't the Gemara's answer. It's very nice that's the Rambam's, it wasn't the Gemara's answer. So that's what the Achronim are wondering, that the Rambam's directly against our Gemara. So the Mari Korkus and the Birchas HaZevach say that maybe the Rambam means that you can't bring the meraglayim levadam into the Mikdash. So the meraglayim, first you need to be mevatel, that's what he means. You don't bring the meraglayim in, and you only use the other six sammanim, and the seventh one, make sure you're mevatel before you use it. Very, very difficult read in the Rambam. That's not what he says. That doesn't sound at all. And how could he leave those details out? That you first need to be mevatel the meraglayim. Doesn't sound like that at all from the Rambam. So the Birchas HaZevach says that the Rambam is paskening against Reish Lakish. He holds you don't need rok tafel with each of the sammanim. He has a right. He thinks he has a right from the Gemara Nida, meaning other sugyas indicate otherwise. That our Gemara is assuming, why is it okay to mix the meraglayim with rok tafel? Da'am Reish Lakish, because Reish Lakish holds you mix rok tafel with all the sammanim. Ram doesn't pass like Reish Lakish. He doesn't think you mix rok tafel with all the sammanim. Mele, back to the Gemara's kasha. If you're not supposed to mix rok tafel with it, so the Gemara is back to the kasha of what you do about the meraglayim. So the Ram says, yeah, in a chinami, the Gemara leaves it off as a kasha, and that's why he says so. It must be that you just don't use the meraglayim. That must be the shita sarambam. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Let's see. Vayter Mishnah. Echad shebishal bo v'echad she'iru l'tocha roteach. And when we talk about the requirement of mariku shtifa and kelim, it's whether you cooked kachim in that kli, or even if you poured hot kachim into the kli, but it wasn't cooked in it. Echad kachim kachim, echad kachim kalim. It's going to apply both to kachim kachim and kachim kalim to the mariku shtifa. It all requires mariku shtifa. Rabbi Shimon on kachim kalim ain't to the mariku shtifa. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. He thinks kachim kalim does not require mariku shtifa. Only kachim kachim requires mariku shtifa. Now, says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, Asher Tevu Shalbo, Ein Li Ola Shebi Shalbo. Asher Tevu Shalbo teaches me that if you cook in it, the kachim, that's when you have a mitzvah mariku shtifa. Ira l'tocha roteach minayin. How do I know that if you pour boiling kachim into it, that you also need mariku shtifa? Tamalom of asher tuva shabbo yishaver. Pasuk says that which you cook in it should be broken. And Rashi says midasamach yishaver itzal bo. From the fact that it says yishaver right next to the word bo, and it doesn't say im bechli cheres tivushal yishaver, it must be that if as long as it's nivla bo, as long as there's any blios, yishaver. And doing iroi is enough to cause blios. As long as there's any sort of absorption of the tam into the kli, that's where you have a mitzvah of shvira and a mitzvah of mariku shtifa. Mitzvah of shvira on kli cheres, mariku shtifa on kli matchos. So that's the din. That even if it's if you're ma'ara it, even if you only pour it into the kli, still it has such a requirement. You'll notice a big tosos on the side of the page over here. It's a gigantic Tosos goes over onto Tzadi Vav Amud Aleph, Dibra Maskul Ira. Tosos, amongst other things, discusses Iroi Kli Rishon. This is a concept in Hilchos Shabbos, a concept in Hilchos Kashrus, and this is one of the primary sources for the concept of Iroi Kli Rishon. Tosos quotes that in Machlokas Rabbeinu Tam and Rashbam, whether Iroi Kli Rishon is considered Bishul B'Kli Rishon or not considered Bishul B'Kli Rishon. The Rashbam holds that Iroi is considered like a Kli Sheni, that it's not called Bishul and Kli Rishon. We assume a Kli Sheni cannot be mevashel. A kli rishon is the the pot within which you cook the food. Klisheni is the pot that you then pour it into afterwards. So what about if there's food in that second pot, raw food in the second pot, when you pour over into the second pot? On Shabbos, is that called that you were mevashel that food? Like let's say oatmeal is not pre-cooked. Let's assume that for a second. And you take the raw oatmeal and you pour it straight from the urn onto that oatmeal. So is it that you're cooking it, that you're being mevashel that on Shabbos? Is that an Isra of Bishul or is it not an Isra of Bishul? That's the issue of Iroi Kli Rishon, or in terms of Kashrus. If I take hot flesh and I pour it from a pot that I cooked hot flesh onto a milchik pot, so did I trafe up the pot? Is it mevash? Does it become nivla in the pot itself? So the Rashbam writes that Iroi is not mevashal anything, and his Raya is from a Mishnah Masechta Shabbos where it says that Ilfis and Kedera, if you have a pot that you take off the fire on Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemashos, when it's boiling hot, you're not allowed to put spices in them on Shabbos, because the Ilfis and the Kedera there are Kli Rishon, and they're able to be Mevashel, that which you put inside of them. And then it says, but you could put Tavlin into a Kedera or a Tamchoy, because the Kedera and the Tamchoy are Kli Sheni. So the Rashbam says, what does it say? You can't put spices into the Kli Rishon, but sounds like you can pour the stuff from the Kli Rishon onto spices. So must be Iroi Kli Rishon is not Mevashel. He has another ayah from Pesachim where it talks about the din of Basar B'chalav, or Tarovas Isser V'Heter, where one food falls onto another food. Shmuel Shita is Tasa Agavar, which means the bottom food is the dominant one. Everything depends on what the bottom one is. Let's say hot fell onto cold, so it's not Balea because the bottom one was cold. So he says, so that therefore, when you do Iroi, it shouldn't do anything to the bottom. It shouldn't affect anything on the bottom, because Tasa Agavar. So the Rabbeinu Tam rejects both of those rayos. He says from the Diuk and Shabbos you could be Medayik the opposite. It says if it's in a Klisheni it's not Mevashel. Sounds like an Iroi would be Mevashel, and he also thinks Tasa Agavar is totally irrelevant, because nevertheless it's Mavur in the Sugya Pesachim that even according to Shmuel, if you pour Cham into Tzonin, there is a Bishul B'Kedei Klipa. It at least cooks a little bit, and that's in fact what we paskin. That Iroi is Mevashel Kedei Klipa. But the primary Raya of Rabbeinu Tam is from our Sugya. Rabbeinu Tam, who holds that it can be Mevashel, his primary Raya is from our Sugya. That you see that it's called that it's Nivla in the Kli just by being poured into it. So that's the primary Raya of Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, so it's obviously a Leibedik discussion, much bigger discussion than we can have in this Shia right now. Says Gemara Vayter, Boyeram Barchama, Toloba Avir Tanu Mahu. What if you just hang the hot food in the airspace of the oven? So it's being cooked in the oven, because the oven is heated up with fire, and that's what's cooking the food, but at the same time, it's not nivla in the oven, because it's never touching the sides of the oven. So are we worried, are we only makbid when there's both bishul and bilua? Or dilma bishul below bilua? Or maybe we're even makbid when there's just bishul without bilua. So Gemara is going to try two rayas. Amar Rav Toshma, raya number one. Our Mishnah says, even if you only pour boiling stuff into it. So it wasn't Mavushal in that Kli, it was just poured into it. So you see that we're not Makbid, that you have both Bishul and Blios. It's only a Blia without Bishul. Says Gemara, Balua below Bishul lo kamibayla. No, we know that. We know if there are Blios without Bishul, you would still have a requirement of Mariku Shtifa and Shvira. Ki kamibayla and Bishul below Bilua. We want to know, what if you have cooking without Blios? Would you still have a requirement of Mariku Shtifa? Because Pashas and Mariku Shtifa is to kasher out the Blios. What are you kashering out if there are no Blios? That's what we want to know. My, what's it in? So Tashma, another attempted proof. In the Beis HaMikdash was made out of metal, which was unusual. Normally the tanurim were made out of cheres. Why do they make the tanur in the Mikdash out of metal? The Gemara is assuming it must be they wanted a tanur that's easily kashered, because if they made it out of cheres, they'd have to break it every day. So if you think that while it's cooking but it's not being nivla, we don't care, it's not gonna ruin it anyway. So navet shel cheres. Anytime they cooked in the tanur shel Mikdash, there was no blios anyway. It was just being roasted by the fire in the tanur. So it was Bishul without Bilua. So what are they worried about? Why do they have to make it out of metal? So says Gemara, no, not every time was a Bishul below Bilua. Kivan diikos shiari minchos diat menachos tafi yasun betanur viikos Bishul ubilua? Avdinan shel mateches, because when they would cook the shiari mincha, that would be in a direct fashion where there would be blios as well. So since in that situation there would be bishul and there would be plios. Therefore, they had to make it out of mateches in order that they should be able to kasher it and that they shouldn't be stuck breaking ovens every single day, every single time they cooked another carbon mincha. Okay, we're going to stop there. Mitzvah tomorrow, we get into a lot of the halachos about plios in an oven and relates to kashering for Pesach and for treifos issues.